Rejoice and be glad in it. The stone the builders has rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. My brothers and sisters in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, I'm one of those people who prefer not to be pitied. I completely connect with those that I see in interviews or visit in a hospital or in some other way interact with who simply struggle with that idea that other people are somehow pitying them. You think about it, there are many of us who would rather, in moments where pity might be directed our way, would rather say to the world, "Don't worry about me, I'm okay, get on with your life, no need to pity here, no sympathy needed, I'll be just fine, leave me to my own devices." Until, of course, there is that diagnosis, or the tornado, or fire, or really bad car accident, or the lost job, and suddenly you're sitting there all by yourself thinking, a little pity, a little sympathy wouldn't be so bad right at this moment. You can think of all the things you would place on a top 10 list of the things that might just have you positioned to be okay with receiving a little sympathy, even if you're wired like me. But does it stun you as you read these verses and you hear what the Apostle Paul would have you consider really needs to be at the top of your list? If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. He doesn't just leave us hanging. He goes on immediately to say, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Amazing, triumphant realities we must consider, but he starts it. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. When you and I consider why someone should be the target of pity and sympathy, when we look around the world on a daily basis, the person that works next to us, the neighbor across the street, whatever the case may be, of need that we know in others' lives and we desire to show them some sympathy, some pity, we very possibly aren't considering this at all. Do they know anything about the resurrection? Do they have any hope beyond this life? Do they have anything to hang on to in this moment where they need pity for whatever the circumstance may be? But an extra measure of pity if they don't have any of the bigger answers to life. Unfortunately, when we consider that and we hear words like that, we tend to exclusively think of unbelievers, people who don't label themselves Christians. But I don't know about you, but the last 13 months, I've been listening, I've been interacting, I've been challenged. And in a recent conversation, someone told me with some alarm that they were having a crisis of faith because of everything that's been going on. And as I listened to them, I came to the realization I needed to correct them because I understood perfectly the challenge they were trying to express, because I know it too, but it wasn't a crisis of faith for me. And I asked them, are you actually having a crisis of faith? Or are you having a crisis with your fellow Christians? Because what they were really sharing with me, and which is a considerable resounding echo through the last 13 months, is how few people around them who labeled themselves Christians even allowed this moment, this pandemic moment, to raise their sights and focus them more on the things to come. It just didn't make sense to them. Now think about that. Where do you fall? Think about it. Are you to be pitied with these words? Have there been moments during these last agonizing 13 months where you were so down in the dirty of the details of masks or no masks or what you can do or where you can go or all the rest of it that it got you so upset, so turned around, so upside down that you were forgetting the messages that you were sending to the people around you regarding who you really trust and where your hopes really lie? Was it really all that surprising that every politician on every side of the possible political spectrum has disappointed us at some point during the 13 months that this has gone on? Is it really that big of a surprise that the things that we had gotten used to in life, that we treasure, that we've come to think of as our right, might have tempted us to believe somehow that a man-written document 200-some years ago replaced the scriptures as what God has told us is our right, and we fought stronger for the human document than we have for the scriptural truth, which is all about loving and serving others and using every moment of our lives to focus ourselves and others on what's coming at the end of life, everything that happens beyond this life, the fact that Christ has indeed been raised. If we have lived as though Christ has not been raised, if we have lived as those who have no hope, well, we should be pitied too, but hopefully not more than any other men, because you and I still have a chance. We are hearing the gospel. We're being reminded by the word what this is really all about. And it gives us a new opportunity to turn that focus around and realize, if I have resurrection hope in my heart, if I have faith in Christ at the center of my life, I've got something that the majority of the people in the world don't have. Even many who label themselves Christians, but in the practice of their Christianity make it clear that their faith in Christ, their hope, their trust is only all about this life. And listen to what Paul says. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Pity me? Well, the way I started out, it's clear, no need to pity me, but especially because of what I'm told in these words. Pity you? I pray not. I hope not. Because you hear the clarion call of God in his gospel through his apostle, a writer who wants you to be certain of the facts you've known so long, so well. How long ago was catechism class? Maybe it was just this week. But if it was a little while longer ago, Paul takes you through the second article here in a lot of ways. Paul did that often in his writings. He would go back to the basics, give those important reminders of what is true, what is basic, what is most important, what our lives have to be built on, and our lives have to be continually revolving around. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That also reminds us why it's so important to recognize that those who don't have faith in the next life in Christ are to be pitied more than anybody else, because everybody's going to rise, whether they believe it or not, and whether they know it or not right now. And every single person is going to live again after death and stand in front of God. And since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. There you've got that reminder, don't you, of the very basics of sin. I hope it's not a spoiler alert for you, but you're going to die. Unless Christ comes first, you and everybody you love is going to die. And anybody that doesn't know Christ and doesn't trust in the resurrection of Christ before they die, they're not going to have that opportunity. I'm dead. I'm standing in front of Christ. And now I'm saying, oh, all that other stuff you wanted me to focus on, that was also true? Remind me of it quick, Jesus. I want to know that right now, because now I realize just how important it is. Not going to happen. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, Christ. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, when he comes, those who belong to him. What a blessing, what a joy to live a life knowing that when Christ returns, he's going to raise you from the dead. That's going to happen first. He's going to gather you together with all the believers, and you're going to be reunited with all those still living that believe in Christ. You're only going to know peace. You're only going to know joy, fulfillment, love from God, embrace. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. Ha. So, everything that's been going on in the last 13 months is something he's permitted for some reason. I wonder what it might be. Is it possible that we live in one of the most, in fact, the most affluent and yet immoral times the world has ever known? In the country that is the most affluent and immoral the world has ever known in history? Is it at all possible that God allowed this all to happen to wake us up for a moment like this, where he looks us in the eye and says, don't be among those pitied more than any other men, because Christ has been raised. And in the end, every last thing that faces us, that causes us pain, unhappiness, anything that demonstrates that sin exists in our universe, that's an enemy of Christ, and it's not going to last beyond this life. It's a reminder, isn't it? Every day, Christ is one. And so how sad it is that so many people live their lives as though they still have to battle death. Whether it's seeking out pleasure or comforts or wealth, or whether it's building a life that somehow can get credit from God, whatever it might be, so many people, even those who label themselves Christians, somehow believe that they're still battling death. Others, of course, battle death by eating and drinking and carousing and working really hard and all kinds of other things, racing death to the end of life to just grab onto as much of the human experience as they possibly can. And all of that should just be a cause for others to pity them, because God pities them more than any other people, because they don't realize the victory's already been won. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is already completely under control now. The rest of the scriptures, if you do a quick search, you'll discover all kinds of places where you're told in so many words that the devil doesn't control when you die. The devil has no power in regard to death. Only God determines when human beings die, the circumstances of that death. And so death isn't done until the last human being before Judgment Day takes their last breath. And yet, the war is over. He rose from the grave. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Huh. Each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Getting the picture? Pity you? Pity me? No. We know the plan. We know the promises. We know the truth. We know that Christ has been raised from the dead. So everything else the world can throw at us, that the devil can throw at us, that life can throw at us, that our aging bodies can throw at us, whatever it might be, doesn't cause us to lower our sights, to grovel in self-pity without answers, without hope, without knowledge of what is to come. Rather, it raises our sights to realize just how temporary this moment is. And I'm not talking about the last 13 months. I'm talking about however long your journey on this life has been and how long it will be. Just a moment, just a breath in the bigger picture of eternity and our forever existence that again is clearly spoken of in God's Word. Pity me? Pity you? No. Christ has indeed been raised, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Embrace that truth. Cling to that truth. Live that truth. Share that truth with those you've loved your whole life, with those you have yet to meet. Because those who are not pitied more than all men have every reason to show the pity, the sympathy, the empathy that disregards all cost, all challenge. To look someone else in the eye and tell them the reason for the hope that you have. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.